All right, still up the house. We're going to go ahead and take a look and get these questions going. Got a couple of questions for you guys, but we'll go through the questions that are there first, and we'll save the questions for you guys if we have any. So I was just checking where the dog was. Okay, so I'll go through the usual questions first. How are you doing? I'm freezing today. The Washington State area has a bomb cyclone, and you heard that right. Bomb, as in explosion cyclone. I don't particularly know what that means, but it's I guess the equivalent would be it's gonna be windy because we're quite inland here. Seattle's quite inland. It's gonna be quite windy, a lot of rain, but it mostly affects the coast. But it is dropping the temperature here, and the temperature's dropping across the planet as well. There's snow in the UK, for example. But yeah, if you took a look at that map there, it shows wind trajectories, and you can see the bomb cyclone off the coast of America there. I don't quite know what one is, but there we go. It's a bomb cyclone. As for what the dogs do, dog appears to be asleep in the bedroom in their crate. They are cold, and so I've been putting on their hoodie that I got them. There was a smell in the apartment yesterday, and I'm like, "What's going on?" And it turns out they had pissed all over their hoodie. Dog pee is gross, and dogs peeing on themselves or on articles of themselves is also gross, but just it sometimes happens. Welcome to owning a dog. He'll miss and piss all over his feet sometimes. Why am I talking about this? Let's move on. Lex says, could we get an update on the Stripe integration? Stripe integration's going well. I don't really know. Actually, I know I do. Hold on. Let's see what I can do soon. Yeah, I would think by the end of the year. I'm not entirely sure, but I would think by the end of the year. Moving forwards, Lex says, how expensive of a calculation is IK and Visemes, and what if you could stream them from another thread? I don't know the answer to either of those. So one of the problems with how or metricized questions, of which that is a metricized question, is it's difficult to sort of answer. A, because we haven't mentioned it. B, because we want to rewrite it. And C, because it's unclear what metric that you would like. Moving things to other threads sounds like a sort of idealistic goal. For a lot of things, it's just like, oh, that's slow, move it to another thread. And in some cases, that's correct, but in other cases, it isn't correct. So we would need to do an evaluation to figure out, if that's actually a solution. But until we do that evaluation, who knows? Freaks might have done an evaluation already or know more than me, and they're typing below, and I'll read from them in a while. Oh, my stomach hurts. Web3 says, I'm wondering whether it would be possible to have an official integration of Resonate OpenBlender. It's probably nowhere near on our priority list. We have to do stuff that moves the platform forwards, or moves the business forwards, and that just it wouldn't be on my personal bucket list ever right now. It might be in the future, but so for the benefit of the recording, Lexi's question was answered by Fruits with Visemes already calculated another thread. You see, that's something I wouldn't know without going into that code. Okay, big heavy part of the interactions of the data model, so it wouldn't help that much without additional work. Dynamic bones were already calculated in a multi-threaded manner. Funnily, the longest part of them is usually writing back to the data model. So Fruit wants to go through and modernize, update the data model, which would make all things that have the words data model in them faster. Another one of the sort of foundational updates that we want to do. The data model is basically anything that is shared with other users. You update a float inside a Protoflux node. We have to send a message via the network protocol, whichever one you'll be using, that says "Yo, Lexi, they updated the float in this Protoflux node from 1 to 2, right?" But some stuff is synced, and then some stuff isn't synced. It's a complicated kettle of fish. Oh, dearie me, I've got hiccups. So Zenerus says, what's the difference between our universe and other universes that Resonate uses in the Mixthread universe page? The universe page pretty much has anything on it. When it comes to universes, you just read that page and then understand that you aren't really gonna see them that much. You might in the future, but they're really only business uses, and they're just segregation. You can think about them like subreddits almost. The analogy is kind of bad the further you look at it, but people in another universe can't join sessions in another universe. It's just like a it's a separate catalog of or directory of everything, like a separate catalog of worlds, a separate catalog of sessions. Everything's on the same database. Yes. Where are we? There's a picture I made somewhere. I don't know where it is. I might have to find it for a second. I remember what I called it. Go to my contributions. Oh, I'm not signed in. That's why I'm having difficulties with like basically everything. Keep me logged in. Not now. Where are we? Yep, go to me. And then user contributions. Here we go. I should be able to find the picture I made at some point. Here it is. So I'll link this, but there we go. So on that webpage there, you'll say that we have a picture there that loads. It's like a diagram or something. It's an SVG, I don't remember. Anyway, it shows the sort of like levels of control going outwards for, without being too crass about it, how much money you're willing to pay. So a regular user has one level of control. If you pay for a group, which is via our Patreon, you get like more. You get like all the group features there, like group cloud variables, stuff like that there. If you go for universes, you get even more control, like isolation of sessions, isolation of branding, etc. And then if you go all the way up to enterprise, we haven't done this yet, but like it's in the plans to like completely do a separate cloud install for one of our enterprise customers. And at that point, it would be a separate database. But at the moment, it currently is on the same one. So there we go. Let's scroll through now. I've fumbled around trying to find that. Silence says, are advanced audio systems going to be implemented? So once the audio, like all the audio pipeline is moved over to Fruit Extension, we could look at doing that. I know that we wanted to look at Steam Audio. We also wanted to look at this spatializer that unfortunately doesn't have a license. For those unaware, you can just release code without a license on the internet. No one's going to stop you. But companies aren't going to use it. I emailed the creator of that library a long, long time ago, and I said, like, hey, we just need a license, like even an email from them saying, like, this license will do. But they refused because they are in the camp of sort of intellectual property doesn't exist, which is all very well, but it prevents us from using it because, like, we have no license for it. Kestrel Blade says, is there a name for Resonite Shape? Yeah, that's Gloopy. That's answered as well about universes. Grant says, how you doing? That was answered before. Grant says, if you don't have a license you can point to, you can't surely be sure you're safe to use it. Yep. So the user may decide in the future, and they don't even need a reason to decide this, right? They may decide in the future that that code that didn't have a license suddenly does have a license, and they want to charge $1 million for it, and then suddenly we're on the hook for $1 million. Whatever payment period they want to go for, and there's like nothing we can do. Like it's just that would happen. So we can't. But yeah, we're gonna move all of audio out of Unity first. Unity, whatever. Moving onwards. So there we go. We are out of questions. In the list. So keep the questions coming if you would to get some questions answered. And if not, I will get some questions out to you guys. Oh, look, someone's posted their hours of Resonite. That means that the next like hour or two of messages inside discussion are just like screenshots of Steam. That's why I don't share my hours, by the way. It causes that to happen. I'd rather not. Kestrel says, how's Source going? I haven't had an update on Source from Geens in a while. So I don't know. I want to answer that one. Go poke Geens. I think they're kind of away right now. I'm ignoring the why is everyone like this today. I mean, like, we've got a bomb cyclone in Washington, okay? That's why we're weird. There's a bomb off the coast of Washington. It's going to explode, like 24 style. Anyone here watched like the entirety of 24? Is it worth it? Like, I watched season 1 and then I watched season 2, and I'm like, I don't know how much longer I can see Jack Bauer running around going like, we gotta like do this, and like no one listens to him for like the entire season, and then like halfway through the season people start listening and he goes like, look, I just stopped like a giant terror attack, this is what you get from actually listening to me. And then like season 2 it was like, Jack, you're insane or whatever. It's like, I would just listen to the guy. He's clearly got plot armor, just listen to him. We got a question about the physics engine, so I'm just gonna see if I can find a visual that would help. Yeah, I can't find anything to hand quickly. I probably could do a little bit. So ray sweeps, I don't know how they're going to work in Resonite, but when you do physics-based ray-related operations in Resonite right now, under the hood for the Protofox nodes, there's ray casts, which are just like, you know, like a laser gun, shoot out in one distance and see what they hit. What we have in the engine that we do a lot, for example, when you grab something, we do this, we can do other shapes that interact with the physics engine. So when you grab something, we do like a sphere-based collision thing. It's called like sphere overlap or something like that. But basically, when you hit grab on your controller, we turn on an invisible sphere for like a couple of milliseconds or however long is that. And that will like collide with anything available in that sphere and then parent it to your hand. And that's how grabbing works. But there's no capability to do that in Protofox, right? I can't say spawn a sphere here and then give me everything that it collides with. That would need collections. If Sire's looking into Raycar sweeps, it'll be good there. Another good thing to think about it is if you think about those little robots that are here. So this robot, I believe this is sonic based. So it will output sound, right? And then it will do mathematics to figure out like, oh, is there an obstacle to my left or an obstacle to my right, etc. That's sort of. Like a raycast, So like when it gets information back, it'll do my mathematics on it, and it'll be like, ooh, blah 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 blah. Yeah. All right, let's go through. Okay, next question. Grand. Someone made a mod to add a feature to Resonite. You were thinking of adding. Would you contact the mod dev to talk about it? It depends on the solution. So a lot of cases in mods, like if we implement a mod, we don't need to do any sort of licensing or anything like that. And that's because we usually fix the problem in a completely different way, at which point there's no intellectual property licensing to be had. We'll usually say like, thank you to the mod author or something for pointing it out or stuff like that. The only time that we would need to legally contact the mod author is if we were taking their code verbatim, but that usually doesn't happen. Moving forwards, Kestrel says, not going to lie that the lack of custom shade is one of the main reasons I'm not playing Resonite right now. Do you remember, like, that once we have Source, we are not going to immediately have custom shaders. It might be a subsequent update from the Source update. It might not be tied together. And additionally from that, it's not going to be custom shaders as in Unity shaders. It's going to be a different custom shader system. You'll be able to still control the rendering to quite an extensive degree, but it won't be, I'm going to drag and drop this Unity shader file into Resonite and it work. That won't work. Ever. Going back to mods for a moment, there's also a sort of, I don't know if problem's the right word, but there's a pitfall, I guess, would be the description. So the pitfall that can happen is, let's say I go to the GitHub issue list and I find an issue and I read the issue and I start forming my own opinion on how to fix the issue from, you know, the log files and the information available from the reporter. And so then I open up the code base, I'm navigating through, I'm trying to find out what's wrong, and then I notice that someone's written a mod to fix this particular problem. The pitfall that I can fall in is to immediately jump to the mod's code and see what it's doing. And when that happens, you sort of can sometimes end up with a fix that isn't actually a fix, right? Because you're looking at how the mod's doing it. So I don't always initially look at the mod to start with. I'll look at the mod after I've formed my own opinion. If we had to lift the mod's code verbatim, would figure something out with the author, but most of the times we don't need to, or it's not suitable to do so. There we go. That's it for questions currently. Lexi, by my understanding of monads, which continually breaks because monads are difficult to understand, a call or impulse is not formally a monad, but does have monadistic properties. One of the problems with monads, by the way, is that they're called monads, right? I use monads all the time, but I don't call them monads. I call them cheese something something, right? Like a good example of like a monad would be our cloud result object, right? So our cloud result object stores like an entity. So let's say that if you use RC-sharp stuff and you request a user from the API, you'll get a cloud result of type users or whatever inside. And that's like technically a monad. It doesn't have like all the Monad-y like functions on it, but like it operates the same, which is like it represents a value and there's operations that you can do from that value that aren't related to the actual interior value. And you can pass it around and use it for results and stuff. There's this interesting video that I haven't watched, so I'm just going to link it verbatim without even watching it. But it talks about how like musical notation is holding back music in some aspects. And I haven't watched this yet, but I agree with it because I can't stand written music. It just I'm not interested in traditional written music. It's not capable. My brain isn't capable of understanding it. And this video, I believe, is talking about like, hey, you know, like we should probably do something else to notate music these days. And the reason why I link that is because the terminology that we use for things is important. But yes, I'm talking about notation wave. The way that we talk about things is important, but sometimes the terminology gets in the way of the ideas. And I think that using monad-like terminology gets in the way sometimes. Like, I know C# very well, but I don't use the formal, like, namings of everything. I still cannot remember the difference between a field and a property. I know how to write both, and I know that, like, code style-wise, I usually need to write one or the other, but I can never remember which one it is. It's probably a field. I don't know. Like, it says you don't have to call it a monad. Yeah, exactly. You can call it, like, something better than that. You know, I could name a washing machine the dump water and shake machine, right? Oh, we have a question I missed. Hold on. Wav says, is custom use custom clients for Freaks Engine allowed? Yeah, you'd be like the third or fourth one that we have. Double check the user guidelines, the security policy, stuff like that, but you're fine. But there was a version of Resonite that ran using Godot a while back. I think someone also made a, I don't remember what engine it was, but they put it in some other engine. There was rumored, I say rumored because I never saw it working, so I don't know if it exists, but someone was like, yeah, I made Resonite work with CryEngine. Just like, oh, okay, sure. Okay. Oh, believe it when I see it. VTRX says, isn't it as in CryEngine from Crysis? Yeah, yeah. Like, I don't want to say that they didn't, but whoever was talking to me about it didn't have, like, you know, a video or anything, so I was like, yep, sure, I'll believe it when I see it. All right, let's see if we've got any more questions. We do. We have one from Ozzy. Ozzy's asking about user data feeds. I haven't even looked at the code for those. I did look at the code for the settings data feed. That was complicated. Quite rightly so, because it does a lot, but still it was like, okay, this is going to take me a while to understand. But if we're out of questions, I can go on to more ramblings. So first question I have for you guys is, what can we do better? I'm going to ask that every week. So there we go. Type it below. Freaks Engine is loading. I'll look at user data feeds in just a second, Ozzy. And then the second question I got for you guys is, like, what other content do you want to see from us? So Freaks tried out the Resonance on Sunday, their podcast, and they've uploaded that footage to YouTube. And I was quite happy to see that people were really resonating, excuse the pun, with Freaks' explanation of some of the performance work. Freaks was drawing squares and moving them around and talking about how, like, different parts of the engine linked together, and people really liked that. Shout out again to my tech tree that I'll at some point make, and that might help as well. All right, has Freaks Engine opened yet? Oh, it has. It's just saying that one of my CS projects is corrupted. Because of course it is. So I've got this TV show on the go, and it's got a two-parter season finale, and I'm patiently waiting for the season finale of the TV show. But following on from that, I feel like I'm probably not going to, because you know how distractibility and my busyness goes. But, like, I want to do one of those, like, stupidly long video essays and be like, guys, just, like, shut up, right? Because a lot of the community for this TV show just don't seem to understand the plot at all. And I do. Anyway, yeah, I'm patiently waiting. All right, let's see. We got Freaks Engine alive now. We do. All right. So you want to go to the user data feed. You got like an exact class name there, Ozzy? Is it users data feed? Yeah, no results yet for users data feed. I know that there's one. I just don't know the class name. Oh, world users feed. Probably that one, right? This is why I asked for a class name, right? Because you got me looking at like a class name called users data feed, right, and that doesn't exist. The actual class name is what's user feed. How dare you get distracted, Ozzy? How dare you get distracted? It's like Visual Studio doesn't know that like half the code base exists for the first 5 minutes that it's open. So I'm just patiently sitting here until, like, find all references actually works. Like, it might be faster for me to just, like, search via text. Here we go. Art, if you've got the class name that actually renders this thing, let me know. Data field view abuse. Yeah, okay. I thought so. Updating user. Okay, so this is like, now I'm the correct component. I can figure it out. Host user. Yeah. If the user is not specified, host user. Wow, that took so long to figure out. There you go. So if the updating user equals the local user, it will update. Otherwise, if the updating user is null and the user is host. Just a random programming tip for you, right? You could have written this data feed twice, like two different ways. You could have put this here as like a conditional, and then you could have gone like update like that. But for clarity, you can do what's actually occurred here, which is like that. Like, see how much better that is? Lexi, I'm not using like backticks for like two lines of C# code. Just deal with it. Just deal with it. Okay. It also means that, like, let's say you update the definition of is updating user. You don't need to update any conditional that utilizes that, right? Provided that the meaning has changed, has stayed the same. So use those sorts of things. They're really useful. Okay, let me add, that was that question. Haptic sampling, I believe we got that answered. Then there's a question about the Blender integration. You're more than welcome to continue doing the Blender integration. It's just, personally, I don't think that it's what the platform needs right now. It is very cool, and you're free to work on it, but the reason that you're free to work on it and that it's very cool is because you aren't doing all the other work that we, the team, need to do. So, like, that's why. Like, I constantly have to be, like, there are how many days in November? There are, where are we? 30 days in November. Each of those 30 days, I have to be doing as much as I can to help you guys, help the platform, help Fruks, help the other members of the team, make Resonite cool. Again, please don't make that as a hat. The Unity integration, sorry, not Unity integration, a Blender integration does not, like, just doesn't appear there. We couldn't, like, we could put that on the merch store, like, today. Like, I know the UI for Selfly, we could easily do it. Make Resonite great again. We could do it, and we could make it a yellow hat, but it's too politically affiliated, so some users would take offense to it, so we won't do it. But it would be a cool item. Because, like, we could meme and put in the description, like, 100% of your hat cost goes to making Resonite great again. Because it's true. I mean, we lose fees, right, because of Selfly and tax and stuff like that. But the rest of that money does go into our balance that we then use to do various things. But I think we're out of questions now, so if anyone has any additional questions, do let me know, but we'll be closing off here in a few minutes. Web says, would a client that supersedes the capabilities of Vanilla's Resonite still be allowed even the majority of users use it? If that happens, I'd love to see it. Ms. Name says, Prime, for the development of Resonite, I know that Visual Studio is being used. Out of curiosity, was JetBrains ever considered? One of our team uses JetBrains. I believe it's Geens. Geens, I think, pays for it out of their own money. We want to be agnostic as possible, so anything that you want to use would be applicable. One of the huge pieces of work that Syro did, for example, is to upgrade all of our projects to the newest CSproj format and system, and that means that you can now quite easily build Fruks Engine in Visual Studio Code, not Visual Studio. But the reason why Visual Studio is used, I wish people would stop naming stuff the damn name. It's so annoying. It's like, hey, we're Microsoft. What are we going to name our next console? Let's just add more X's and stuff. Oh, what are we going to name, like, our two competing, because they are competing weirdly, things. Anyway, Visual Studio still, for me at least, has a bunch of stuff which I can't find, or I'm sure it exists in VS Code, but, like, I can't find it in there, or I don't know how to use it, or it doesn't work for some reason. Stuff that I need. I wouldn't be able to do anything without find all references or go to implementation or, you know, various things like that. A lot of what I do is, like, research on the code before I touch it. And I mean hours. Like, I'm opening up, like, random methods for hours. I read top to bottom the import stack for models the other day because I was looking at doing some changes there. And that is a lot of me, like, navigating around with control click, etc. I really need to find some time to make the code editor I want, but I'm never going to have time to do that. And I don't really like have the ability to explain it, because if I explain it, I need to like think about it and put words into my ideas, which I don't have. Mr. M talks about, do you see everyone else using something else though? I know that Gaines uses Rider. I know that Syro would prefer to use Visual Studio Code. They have their own various reasons. I know that Fricks uses Visual Studio. I also know that they use the light theme for that. I question that every time I remember it, but hey. That reminds me, Fricks, I'm going to DM you about something, and I'm going to nag you until it's done. And don't worry, it's not technical. So, Fricks says, I don't really have time to work on things I'd really like to see either. When I try to make someone gets upset that their thing isn't being prioritized. Yeah, it happens a lot. I'm going to say it again. I don't say it because I'm like, you know, got an ego or something. I need to say it because like it explains what's going on and it helps for anyone that hasn't heard it before. All of the business work, or at least as much business work as possible, I'm doing. And that's to allow Fruits to work on the stuff that they either need to or want to work on. And so sometimes I get DMs and they're like, why aren't you working on Performance Prime? And it's like, because I am clearing headroom so that everyone else on the team can work on performance. Leave me alone. I do a lot. Miss Name says, Prime, aren't you the main person for talking to people? No. Or at least, like, not on paper. I talk a lot, and that's because one of the main problems at Mixer that we had a problem with was that the larger we got, the more users on the more team members on the Mixer team we had that didn't know how the product worked and did not, like, didn't use it. And so the biggest, strongest way to prevent that happening to you as a member of the team is to continue using the product and continue talking to people who use the product. So I make sure I'm doing as much of that as possible. Alex says, do you think we'd have any business partners like Weaverse in the USA? Yeah, we're actually, like, there's no like formal page you can go to get more information about this, but we're looking. If you have business that could use Resonite and you want to help us make that business happen, please reach out to our business email, etc. That's what happened with Weaverse, right? Weaverse were like, hey, we're doing business. Like, we should probably reach out to YDMS. And now we work together on that business and the business is better for it, right? So if you're doing business and you want to work with us, let us know. And you're kind of required to let us know because of the commercial licenses, but, you know, whatever. Send us an email. Yeah, we've got a bunch of people doing business on Resonite. I know all about it. Me, like most days. Fala Red Sand says, beyond the people of Resonite and other resources, best places to learn the game components and fluxes. Yeah, the wiki is probably good there. Like, for anyone who's like, hey, the wiki is not like up to date or whatever, like, help, it's getting there. His name says, back to the editor's question, isn't it licensingly questionable shipping commercial products with something like Visual Studio Community Edition? I don't know. Let me take a look. Let's go to the I don't think there's anything against doing it, but if you look at Visual Studio Professional, it says that non-enterprise, what's this say? There's like a one by it. Yeah, non-enterprise organizations for up to 5 users, Community Edition is fine, apparently. Now, if you'd like to hear some amazing facts that allow us to use Visual Studio beyond that, the only actual person who works at Yellow Dog Man Studios is Fruits. And so we're still, you know, 4 out of 5 remaining on our Visual Studio Enterprise doodad. I'm a contractor. Syro's a contractor. No, Syro's an intern. Gaines is also not a contractor. Ravy's a contractor. There we go. Alex is asking what kind of things we do. So there's a bunch of medical stuff that's going on, a couple of scientific papers, one that should be coming out basically any day now, and when it does, it'll be great because it's a good paper. There's also a lot of like businessy stuff, like meetings. So if you want to do digital meetings because of COVID or whatever, then you can do that. There's visualizations, so things like business visualization, building visualization, etc. A lot more on that coming in sort of December way, because I'll be working on some stuff there. Lexi, I haven't seen you before, so I'm going to go ahead and give you the link to my talk about medical stuff in Resonate when I get there. Yeah, I think we're good. We'll have to review that as we grow, etc., on the Visual Studio front. Like, we're good right now. But there you go. Advanced Virtual Reality Surgical Planning. That is a talk, and you can watch it. It's 3 minutes. All right, just looking for other questions. Let me see. Artie says, is Resonate a commercial product? Yes, we are making money on it, right? Either via Patreon or via our businesses, we make money, so it's a commercial product. Oh, just logged into some random website, and they're like, we sent you an SMS code to log in, type it in. Where's my phone? Like, on the other side of the room. Right, where are we? Lexi says, if someone was selling avatars to Resonate, would that be commercial use? Please double check our licensing page and contact our business team if you have any questions. Remember, a business conversation when it comes to our licensing is never going to be, how dare you do whatever? It's going to be, cool, how can we make money together? So take a look. Misname says, if Prime is a contractor, will that contract ever expire? It does not currently expire, but it is quite easy to expire it. Don't worry though, I'm here. I mean, there was a problem with pay this month, so I haven't been paid this month, but it's nothing to do with like Fruks or YDMS, it's me. So I'm working on it. I mean, we've only got 8 minutes till the end, so let's just keep going till the top of the hour, I guess. Lex says, how my personal Patreon holding up? I need to do more with that. Like, I appreciate everyone that supports me on that, but like, I don't do enough to warrant anyone that is supporting me. Like I said, I do want to do additional videos on my channel. I've also got the gaming channel that I'm trying to remember to upload stuff to. I've got so many like recorded videos of me playing random games that I want to post on there. And the gaming channel will basically be like, hey, if anyone watches it, great. If anyone doesn't watch it, also great. I don't care, right? I want to just play games and upload them. And then I want to do a third channel where I do like more video essays, where the first one would probably be that TV show I posted earlier, because it's driving me mad that the community of the game just doesn't understand the plot. Like, I don't want to spoil it because it's like a 3-season show and it's one of my favorite shows right now. But like, there is a mystery to figure out. It's from the producers of Lost, and there's a mystery to figure out, and you get drip-fed information about it, and that can be frustrating for some, right? So it might be 2 or 3 episodes where you don't get any more information about the mystery, but then the next episode you get, like, a bit. And what people are saying is basically, like, we've had no information in season 3 about anything that's going on, and I want to make, like, a video essay where it's like, here's every episode of this damn TV show abridged and discussed from purely a data collection point of view, right? And it'd be like, episode 1, season 2, we learned this. We had these questions answered. Here's what I think about them, because there's so much information. Like the leaks, of course, because there's a leak for the season finale of that TV show, is very good and causes me to recontextualize everything I know about the show. So, you know, it's good. But I probably will never publish that because busy take a lot of time. Let's take a look. We've got other questions. I was going to look at virtual Patreon. I didn't. I got confused. Let's take a look. Yeah, I just need to do more on that. I also want to do like non-Resonate tutorials as well. It's just like all my time is taken up with Resonate work. Like, I'd love to do C# tutorials, for example. I'll teach it really differently from everyone else though, because I wouldn't use any terminology, as I was saying earlier. I would also use like .NET 9 to start from. One of the problems with like tutorials of a C# nature is because C# changed so much because of all the .NET updates and changes and naming, etc. There's a lot of old tutorials out there that just have not bad code or problematic code, but they've just got like stuff that's harder to do than it is today. Like decoding JSON right now in .NET 9 with system text JSON, real easy. But before that, you had to install Newtonsoft and do a bunch of stuff. Fellow Red Sand says, have you looked at miskey.resonate.love uses sort of passwordless 2FA in Unipocket? Nope. I'd have to look at that, see if it's actually secure. I'm sure it is, but like, I need to look at it to understand more. Nuki says, has anyone looked into using Ready Player Me assets to make some sort of custom human avatar maker? I'm looking into what we might be able to do with a slightly different one called Avaturn. Avaturn has a where are we? It has developer docs where it mentions that they, you know, out of the box support Unity. So I'm looking there to see if like anything of that is applicable. But that might be like a 2025 early thing that I'm doing. It's part of the business client. So the business client is like a giant organization and they want avatars that look like the people that work at the organization really quickly. They're the sort of platform that we're going to like at least do some research. This is like, I want to be very clear. This is research level, right? This is Prime is going to like grab books and like information and like a quill and some parchment paper and make scribbling. Jay, I noticed a bunch of weird things that your bot's doing that could be a lot simpler. I won't probably have time to fix those, but the code for your bot is quite nice. But I did notice a couple of weird things. We've got 3 minutes left. I'm going to go to the top of the hour because I might as well. There's not much time left. Do take a look at, by the way, our brand new site, go.resonite.com, which is completely open source and is made using my development philosophy as simple as possible. Let's see. Another question from Nuki. Do you know the status of the yearly subscription stuff? Probably by the end of the year. I don't know if yearly subscriptions will apply by the end of the year, but like a different payment provider probably by end of the year, which will then lead us towards yearly subscriptions. I'm going to do something different at the end of this office hours, by the way. We're going to stay on air, but with the recording cut until I publish the damn recording, because I keep forgetting to. And like, if I stay here with you like breathing down my neck, I'm going to remember to publish it. I really want like a giant soda, like ice cold soda. We have 1 minute left. At the top of the hour, we're going to go into Prime uploads office hours notes so that he doesn't get moaned at by people that want the office hours notes uploaded. Miss Name says, speaking about soda, Pepsi or Pepsi Max? Diet Pepsi. I don't know if this is the case. Like, Diet Coke would be my preference, but I figured out why Diet Coke is my preference. I figured it out. So if you look at Coke Zero, and I think Pepsi Max is the same, they use a different sweetener profile. But Diet Coke itself has citric acid in it, which gives the Diet Coke an ever so slightly citrus taste compared to Coke Zero. And I prefer, when it comes to diet soda, the slightly citrus taste that comes with Diet Coke. So I prefer Diet Coke. But yeah, look at the ingredients and actually think about them and maybe Google them as well, right? On the back of the can. And yeah, people will be like, what's the sugar called? You know, the sugar. No, that's a brand name, the chemical name. For a P something. Aspartamine, it's A, yes, aspartamine. Thank you, Nuki. Yeah, look into that, because everyone's like, it causes Parkinson's, it doesn't cause Parkinson's, it causes cancer, it doesn't cause cancer, it never leaves your brain. It's just like, There are certain substances, by the way, that if you ingest them via any mechanism, I'm talking food, inhalant, skin contact, etc., like all those sorts of chemicals, right, they can enter the blood-brain barrier and then not leave, so you need to keep an eye on those. Like the things that don't get expunged from the body are where toxicity becomes a problem. Lots of heavy metals do that as well. They can't leave the body once they're in. Anyway, at the top of the time, so I'm gonna go ahead and stop the recording.